to minister to us today.
We are excited to be here. I tell you, the last time we were here, I was thinking about this morning. It was, I think, the week that your church caught on fire. That's the last time we were here, and we still had a great time. So I'm not advocating fires in churches, but anyway. We are Chuck and Wilma Lormis. We are the Odd Couple of Missionaries. The reason I say that is I was a career pastor. I pastored for 36 years with my first wife. We were heavily involved in missions, but always from the pastoral side. And we were actually on a mission trip in Huancayo, Peru, where I was asked to come and train about 200 workers for an outreach to a city of a million people. And during the time that we were there, we drove up to the top of the Andes Mountains, halfway down the other side to get to Huancayo. And on the trip, my first wife became ill. We thought it was just altitude sickness. One of the other ladies that was with us also became ill. We got a medication. We said, you guys rest at the hotel tonight while the rest of us go to the training. And that seemed to be a good plan. We got back from the training. They were both sleeping. We thought this is good. They'll be fine in the morning. Well, in the morning, the other lady was fine. Sue woke up feeling very dizzy, and she asked me to help her to the bathroom in our hotel room. And she stood up, took about, I don't know, 5 or 6 steps, had a massive heart attack, collapsed in my arms, and died. And so that kind of changed the course of my life. And so after 41 years of marriage, that was over. But God is a redeemer. And over the course of the next 15 months, God brought Wilma and I together.
And I'm the career missionary side of our team here. My first husband and I had the privilege of serving in the country of Madagascar, not far from Mozambique, just right across the ocean there. And that's the big island off the right-hand side of Africa. And if you've seen the movie, the animals really don't go around singing, "I like to move it," okay? But it was an amazing place to serve. We saw God do amazing things. People were saved, healed, delivered, called into the ministry. Our main focus was church planting and teaching in the Bible school. And it was our privilege and joy to serve in that country for 9 years. Unfortunately, during our third term, my husband had moral failure, and we were asked to come home from the field. And I remember at that point just being a very broken woman. I wasn't sure what God was going to do with this call of God on my life, but more importantly, my family. And so we ended up coming home from into the States at that point. And I remember just saying, God, what are you going to do with this mess? Well, sadly, my first husband continued in those choices, and we ended up divorcing 2 years later. If you're considering divorce, I just want to tell you this. It only changes one set of problems for another. Read the Word of God, seek godly counsel, and let Jesus direct your path. Well, my kids were in middle school at the time, so I just plugged into a church actually in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's where we landed for various reasons. Got my kids through middle school and high school. And then once they graduated and landed in college, God opened the door for me to get reappointed as a single missionary that time. So I had the joy of leading teams and traveling around the world with the Book of Hope, One Hope. And then the Lord asked me to transition to the U.S. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'm a world missionary. But how many knows when Jesus says, I want you to do something, what do we say? Yes, Lord, right? So I transitioned to the U.S. And at that point, I was a U.S. missionary with the Assemblies of God, based in Cleveland, Ohio, and teaching young people who they are in Christ and how they fit in the Great Commission. And that's when the Lord began to bring us together. And when we knew God was bringing us together, the biggest question we had was, how's this going to work? He's a career pastor, and I'm a career missionary. God, what do you want us to do?
So the choice became, does she resign as a missionary and become a pastor, or did I resign as a pastor and become a missionary? Well, she won. I resigned as a pastor and became a missionary. But we were trying to figure out, okay, how can we best serve the kingdom of God? And we became aware of the statistics that in the Assemblies of God, 21% of our churches give nothing to missions in an average year. I didn't think that was possible. I was raised in the Assembly of God in Pekin, and we always gave to missions. I couldn't figure out how any church could be an Assembly of God church and not give to missions. But that's the statistics, and that was nationwide statistics. And another 16% of our churches give less than $1,000 a year to missions. So that kind of became our rallying cry, and we began to pursue the idea of working with these churches and helping establish missions where it didn't exist, helping strengthen missions where it was weak, to see if we could help churches become strong missions churches. And God has blessed, and we've seen great things happen, and I tell you, the testimonies just go on and on and on of what God is doing here in Illinois, across the Midwest especially, but also we'll go coast to coast, we just believe that God can do what only He can do, and so we trust Him to help us help churches strengthen missions in the local church.
Mm-hmm. You guys have enabled us to do that for about the last 6 or 7 years, and we just want to say thank you. On behalf of every missionary you support, every missionary you invest in financially and in your prayers, we just want to say thank you. Because when you join with us, together we can do so much more than what we could do independently. And we're just simple enough to believe that if every person does their part, if the person in the back pew, in the middle here, like somewhere in the front, right over there, it doesn't matter where you are. If you do your part, what God is asking you to do, we will see every tribe, every tongue, every nation around the throne of God, and Jesus Christ will come back. Are you ready for that? Amen. Amen. I know I am. And so we just want to say thank you so much for partnering with us. Your fingerprints are on everything we do. And when we get to heaven, it's just going to be a fun time to see how many of you remember. Well, a lot of you might be old enough to remember Paul Harvey. And now the rest of the story. When we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like, hearing the rest of the story and how our prayers, how our finances, and how our giving, going, and praying all made a difference for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we want to talk to you about the divine partnership. The divine partnership. Genesis 1:1-3 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Jesus, I pray this morning that you would open every heart to hear what it is you want to speak this morning. Anoint Chuck's and my lips as we share your word. And Lord, we pray that every person would hear the message they need to hear this morning that would motivate and challenge us all to do more, to pray more, to give more, so that we can see your return soon. We love you, Jesus. Amen. With those simple words, "Let there be light," spoken by an all-powerful God, there was light. Creation began. When we think of Creator God and how He spoke the world into existence, it's inspiring. It's amazing. He made everything out of nothing. Scripture continues to unfold this drama, telling us that God, Creator God, He goes on to create the waters, day and night, all sorts of living creatures, and mankind. He created man in His own image, male and female. God created mankind for a purpose, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, and to rule over the living creatures, and to work and take care of the Garden of Eden. Adam was given work as a steward and a protector. God's plan was for Adam and Eve to live forever without sickness or blemish, in perfect communion with Him in the garden. Sadly, we know the story. Man sinned, and that relationship was broken. In spite of this broken relationship, God's mandate really hasn't changed. He still calls mankind, you and I, into relationship with Him. He still offers every human being divine partnership with Him to enjoy relationship with Him and to accomplish His purposes for us to be stewards and protectors of His creation. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10. Let's not miss the weight of this. Creator God called us into being. He created us for a divine purpose, a divine partnership to enjoy God and to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. God is calling you today into divine partnership. But for what purpose? So the first point we want to talk about today is the Great Commission. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven, he spoke his last words, what we now call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The verb go expresses a command. In this context, it's also an imperative, something that is urgent, important. Jesus told them that he is coming back. But before he does, we must go and make disciples. Remember God's plan for Adam and Eve to live forever without sickness or blemish in perfect communion and relationship with him? His desire is still the same for us today. He longs for every person, your neighbor, your family member, your friend, your coworker, every person to be in right relationship with him, even though we are sinful and broken. Christ came, he suffered, and he died to pay the price for our sins so that we can accept his sacrifice, ask for forgiveness, receive him as Savior, and have restored right relationship with him. Again, he did this for every person, whether it's Mozambique, whether it's across the street with your neighbor, you, me, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Did you know that there are 8 billion people on earth? Of those 8 billion, 41.9% of them are still unreached. That's almost 42%. That means that a little more than 4 out of 10 people still do not have adequate access to hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins and that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus. This means that there is little gospel witness or no gospel witness for 4 out of 10 people in the world. That shows us that we still have a lot of work to do, amen? But Jesus is inviting us to be a part of the sharing his love and reaching those who have not yet heard. God has given us the tools we need to complete the task. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He is calling us to divine partnership in fulfilling the Great Commission so that all can hear and all can have access to the forgiveness of sin. A question I want to ask us to consider this morning is, will we participate?
When we talk about a divine partnership, well, there's two parties involved. There's God and there's us. And so we look at God's part of this partnership and we realize that God is faithful. So let's look at God's faithfulness for just a moment. He is so faithful. Sometimes we forget just how faithful he is to us. He is a faithful God. His faithfulness begins even before salvation, because even when we were still lost in sin, he sent Jesus to the cross to pay the price for our salvation. We're all sinners. But when we repent, he is faithful to forgive. First John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness." But it doesn't end there. That's just the beginning of our relationship with our faithful God. He is faithful in every area of life, in every situation, every circumstance. He is faithful every minute of every day, every day of every year of every decade. He is always faithful. I want to look at what the Word of God says about his faithfulness. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 117, verse 2 says, "For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, "I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 57:10 says, "For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds." Now think about that for just a minute. His faithfulness endures for all generation. His faithfulness is timeless. For all generations past, all generations present, all generations future, His faithfulness endures throughout every generation. It's timeless. And His faithfulness endures to the clouds. The idea of the clouds, you think, well, that's the clouds. They're just kind of up there, right? Realize that when the guys that wrote these passages, the psalmists, they didn't have any concept of what it was like to fly in an airplane. When they looked up to the clouds, that's like eternity almost, you know. That's like forever that way. There is no limit in the reach of God's faithfulness. He is faithfulness beyond the clouds. He is faithfulness beyond the planets, beyond the universe. He is faithful. There is no boundary that can contain His faithfulness. So He is faithful beyond boundary. He is faithful beyond time. He is faithful. And you know, even when we're in situations that maybe not be so pleasing, so pleasant, when the Israelites were taken into captivity, Book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and he said in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Even when we're in dire situations, even when we're not where we need to be, not where we want to be, He's still faithful. Amen. It does not change. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who is promised is faithful." We can hold on to every promise of the Word of God because God is faithful. God has always been, He is now, and will always be faithful to His promises. We can count on Him because He is always faithful. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, it says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we'll also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself." Even when we're totally faithless, Jesus is still faithful because He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny His Word. He is true to His Word no matter what we are, because He will not deny Himself. He cannot deny Himself. Even when we're faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. God is always faithful. He's faithful to His people because He's faithful to His Word.
Amen. So God's called us to participate in the Great Commission. He's proven His faithfulness to us. Now we're going to look at our faithfulness. We've seen that God's called us into this divine partnership. He's invited us to be a part of it and to do that through the Great Commission. We've seen that God is faithful and He will do all that He's promised. He will be with us. He will equip us. He will provide everything we need. The question we must ask ourselves today, will we be faithful to Him and do what He asks? Romans 10, 12 through 15 says this, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Hallelujah! Thank you for that, Lord. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." That doesn't mean just in the country of Mozambique. That means right here in Peru, Illinois. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the good news. How can they hear if someone isn't sent? The remaining 40, almost 42% of the world's population have not yet heard. But that number doesn't include those who don't believe around us. You see, there's still many, many people around us who do not believe in Jesus Christ. From an article in Learn Religions, updated in April of 2020, nearly one-third of the world's population consider themselves to be Christian. That term Christian, however, is quite loosely considered when we think of the broad range of beliefs that are represented in that Christianity. Pentecostals and Charismatics make up only about 27% of that third. But then when we think about that, those who really are true Christians, it's only about 8% of the world's population. In regard to the U.S., 78% of all Americans identified as Christians in 2010. However, that number has dropped to 65% at present. Even if these numbers are off, what it tells us is we have a lot of work to do right here in the United States and around the world. Christ wants us to share his love to our peers, to those right around us. He wants us, yes, to put money in the plate and to pray for missionaries and to be willing to go if he calls us, but he wants us to do our part right here as well. This passage in Romans asks us some very poignant questions. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Will we be faithful to what God has called us and commanded us to do? Will we show our love for him by telling and showing others of his love? John 14:23 says this, Jesus answered them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." There's a caveat there. What is it? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. His blessing is directly tied to our obedience to his commands. We must speak so that others can hear. We must send so that others can go where we are not. Will you walk in divine partnership with God in obedience to the Great Commission, remembering his faithfulness to us and walking in faithfulness to him? God is looking for faithful partners to carry out his plan.
One of the areas where it's very important that we partner with God is in our missions giving. The Great Commission was given to every believer. If you're a Christian here today, the Great Commission has been given to you. And part of fulfilling our obligation of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is in giving. Giving is something that we have to learn to do. Now, there are some people that are generous just by nature, but usually we have to learn giving, and we have to grow in our giving. And our level of giving when we first start is not the same as it is as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we give, we see how God works in using our gifts and how he blesses us in our giving. Giving in the church should be taught to everyone of every age, from the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between. And you know, we do that in the body of Christ. In the Assemblies of God, we teach our children to give to BGMC, to use their little buddy barrels, you know, and fill them up. I had a buddy barrel. It was the old wooden ones when I was a kid. And we used to fill those wooden buddy barrels, you know. And of course, now they're the fancy plastic ones and all that, but whatever. But BGMC's been around since 1949. It's not a new thing. It's for kids. It's to teach kids how to give to missions. And it equips the kids to know how to reach the lost, to care about reaching the lost, to pray for the lost, to give toward reaching the lost. BGMC provides puppets and clown outfits and costume animals and Bibles and tracts and Sunday school literature and computers and videotapes and CDs and training materials and lots of other things that are used for evangelism and discipleship. BGMC is extremely important. Ask any missionary, they'll tell you. Speed the Lights, how we teach our young people to give. It's been around since 1944. It's the way to provide the essentials for a missionary, the transportation that they need to get where they need to go. If you were to look out into the parking lot this morning, you would notice, if you look, that we are driving a Speed the Light car. We picked it up brand new in January of 2017. Yesterday, We crossed a threshold of 222,222 miles. We took a picture of it. It'll come out in our next newsletter probably. I don't know. But anyway. But we've used it to travel coast to coast in the United States, north to south, east to west, taking the gospel where it needs to go. And all over the world, missionaries are using speed the light vehicles to further the gospel. Sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a motorcycle. There are places where it's a horse. But used to get missionaries where they need to go. And it provides sound equipment for missionaries and other types of video and audio equipment to present the gospel in various forms. It's necessary. It's important. And it helps missionaries do what they need to do, whether they've got television ministry, radio ministry, print ministry, audio ministry, digital equipment, whatever it might be, it helps missionaries make Jesus known. And then for the adults, we have Faith Promises. I don't know how many years Faith Promises has been around, but it's been around longer than I have. And it's the way we give as adults. And it's, and you've got the cards on the seats there. It's the way that we give above our tithe. It's not the tithe. So don't say, well, I won't give my tithe. I'll just give Faith Promise. No, that's not it. You give your tithe. That belongs to God. It's His. The Faith Promise is in addition to the tithe. And it's saying, God, I'm going to trust You. And if You can get it through me, I know You'll get it to me. And God will use us to step out in faith and say, I'm going to trust God for X amount of dollars this year or X amount of dollars a month or per week, however you want to do it. But it's a way of trusting God to give above our tithe, to support missions around the world. And I tell you something, missions is going on all around the world. I recently saw a video that our new director of world missions put out, and he was talking about how we're in 153 nations taking the gospel now. That's tremendous. And missionaries are going and they're spreading the gospel because God's people across this country are faithful to give. We thank God for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We get to decide, do I want to reap a big harvest or a little harvest? If I'm a farmer and I go out and I take a little bag of corn and I scatter it around and say, okay, I've done planting now, I'm not going to get a bumper crop, I got to tell you that, you know. But if I'm diligent and I sow that field, and I'm not a farmer, but if I sow that field with corn and all the acreage that I've got and I sow my seed, I'm going to reap a harvest. And it's going to be a bountiful harvest. The premise is, once again, that if God can get it through you, He will get it to you. Giving is for everyone. And you know what the goal is? The goal is 100% involvement. I was talking to a pastor in our district. We had dinner with him a while back. And I asked him, do you set goals for your missions giving? He said, nope. He said, the only thing I ask is that everybody does something. I want 100% involvement in my church. And he said, if everybody does something, the need will be met. And he's been doing this for a number of years, and it's working. The goal is to have everybody involved. Everybody can do something. We can do more together than we can individually. And realize, again, that this is giving above your tithe. If you haven't started tithing yet, that's your first responsibility in obedience to God. It's your first point of financial stewardship. But Faith Promise giving has been a part of the Assemblies of God for decades. It's the basis for our missionary support. It enables the church to partner with missionaries to send them to all places, all over the world, to take the gospel to those who haven't heard. To the jungles of Africa, to the mountains of Peru, to tiny villages and huge metropolitan areas, to the 7,000 unreached people groups in the world, 100 or so of which are right here in the United States, to starving children in third world countries, and to both the poorest and the wealthiest populations on the planet. Giving enables missionaries to feed starving children. It provides for clean water wells. It constructs tabernacle churches and establishes Bible colleges to train new ministers. Giving helps missionaries reach out to our military personnel throughout the world. It allows them to go to people who speak different languages and have different customs. It enables them to take the gospel to places where it has yet to go, so the Great Commission may be fulfilled, ushering in the return of Jesus Christ. And we know the promise of the word, that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to every tribe, every tongue, every people. And then the end will come. And we look forward to that day. The bottom line is, how are we doing in our partnership? How are we doing in the partnership that we have with the eternal Creator God, who sent His Son to die for us? How much do we owe Him? I guess the answer to that would be everything. How much do we owe Him? We need to realize the importance of our partnership with God, this divine partnership that He's established, that we can be a part of His plan to reach the world. You know, God didn't have a bunch of plans. He had one. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. There was no other plan. God did not sit up in heaven with the Holy Spirit and Jesus after Jesus ascended and say, okay, what do you think, guys? What's the next plan? There wasn't one. There is one plan, that's the church. He's called us to partner with Him. He's called individuals to go out and become men and women of God sent throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He's called the church to be the sending agency for those missionaries. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I thank You so much for the privilege that we have of sharing Your word with Your people, Lord. We thank You for this church, Lord, that there's a heart for missions here. We thank You for that, God. We thank You that this church is sending out missionaries to various parts of the world, taking the gospel where it's never been before. We thank You for that, God. And Lord, we pray that You'll speak to hearts today, and that, Lord, people will respond to the call of the Spirit today to be in divine partnership with You, so that we can see more missionaries sent out, so we can see the gospel spread through every country throughout this world. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Pastor.
My first time to not to give to missions, but to participate in faith promise giving. And the church was very strong in faith promises. And the pastor at that time, M.C. Johnson, said, every staff member will be giving generously to missions. And so I knew that I needed to give generously to missions. And Rhonda had already had a very strong heart for missions giving and participating in faith promise. And I remember we were sitting in the service, and I forget which missionary was even speaking that day, but I leaned over and said, how much do you think we should give? And she whispered back to me an amount, and honestly, I was stunned. You know, I thought, how will we do that? And if I recall correctly, I said, are you sure? You know, are you sure? Can we really trust God to do that? And we could. And God was faithful. Let me tell you what faith promise is not. Faith promise is not something where I or a staff member or a member of our council calls and says, where's your faith promise? What this does is it helps us set a budget for the next year. It gives us an idea of what we are able to do. We don't approach you on this. We don't call you on this. When you make a faith promise pledge to give, that's between you and the Lord, but what you're letting us know that, hey, I'm going to give this amount on a weekly basis or this amount on a monthly basis. And that's really how we are able to support the many missionaries that we do, and also able to come alongside, not just in faith promise giving, but in both local missions. Betty Pappas, the executive director of Abigail's Women's Center is a member of our congregation, and our church sows into that ministry. That comes through the faith promise giving. So it's local missions, it's global missions. Again, it's above the tithe. It's not a portion of your tithe. It's above the tithe. And I'm just going to challenge you today, and maybe you want to take this with you, and you want to make this a matter of prayer. This coming week, you can just place it in the offering containers. That would be great. And our missionaries today, we were able to give them an honorarium out of our missions funds. So if you're wanting to give today, you can give in addition to your faith promise, or just place an offering to missions in one of the offering boxes today. But if you would truly just make this a matter of prayer, and it's really everybody participating. It's all of us. A lot, a little, it doesn't make any difference to God. And so I would encourage you that maybe you've not done it, you've heard about it, or maybe it's new to you, to step out and say, you know, we're going to be a part of the missions program of Faith Church. And those funds aren't stored. Those funds go out. They go out on a monthly basis to the Assemblies of God missionaries that we support, the local missions that we support. We also have some YWAM missionaries and some others that are part of our missions budget. So you can certainly fill that out. You can place it in the offering container today, or you can do that in the weeks to come if you want to just take that and make that a matter of prayer. And from the bottom of my heart, let me just say thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Last Sunday, we celebrated 65 years as a church and 30 years for Rod and I's pastoral ministry here. And I think key to this church's health and what we've been able to do can be directly linked to missions, that we have been faithful, that we have had a vision beyond just ourselves and Faith Church and the Illinois Valley, and there is great need here. Don't want to diminish the need here, but it's not just the Illinois Valley. The Great Commission involves the entire world. And we partner with dozens of missionaries and missionary organizations. So again, thank you for your missions giving. And thank the kids as well for BGMC. Of course, they're in Faith Kids today. And the youth, Speed the Light, they just got back from Momentum this past week. And they give to Speed the Light. And so together we can do so much, much more than we can do on our own. Well, I'm going to ask if we would just bow our heads for just a moment. You know, this is a missions emphasis service, but if you're here today and have never established a personal relationship with Christ, this is for you today. This is for you. And maybe as you have heard the missionaries share this morning, you're in need of what they are going to share with others. You have never come to that place where you've established that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we never want to close a Sunday morning service without giving someone the opportunity. In the last few weeks, we've had some individuals who have responded, who have indicated, yes, I prayed to accept Jesus Christ. December the 3rd is a baptism service. Listen to me. If you need to be baptized, you need to be baptized. And you can do that on December the 3rd. Stop by the Information Center this morning and pick up an application, and we will make that happen. But if you have yet to establish that relationship with Christ, I'm going to invite you to join all of us as we pray a very simple prayer together to receive Christ. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, I hear and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness. I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, there is a wonderful promise in God's Word. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. On the screen, you see a booklet. It's available at the Welcome Center. It's also in all of the entrances. You can pick that up. There's a response card. Let us know of the decision that you have made. Well, let's stand together. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a final